So our topic this morning is the way of the righteous shines ever brighter. The way of the righteous shines ever brighter, and we are using a Proverbs chapter 4 verse 8. Proverbs 4:18. Shall we all read it together? Ready, go. But the path of the just, is that what we have? 18, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just, righteous, is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. The path of the righteous, the path of the just. How many of us are the righteous? If you are, please lift up your hand. Let me know those that I'm talking to this morning. It looks like I'm not seeing every hand up. So how many of us are not righteous? Please put down your hand those that are not righteous, if you know you are not righteous. Who are the righteous? What made you righteous? What made you know you are righteous? Because of what? Because of Jesus that is in you. That's the only reason. It's not because of your performance. If you have ever said yes to Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you have identified with him as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible calls you righteous. The righteousness you have is just simply a gift. It's not based on your performance. So, and the Bible is saying that as many as have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believed in their heart that he died for their sins, and that they have believed that he is their Lord and their Savior, they have made him their Lord and their Savior, you are the righteous. And if you are one of such, God your Father said that your path is designed to shine brighter and brighter. You know, the NLT says that, which shines ever brighter until the full light of the day. It says, like the first gleam of the dawn. You know, when you wake up in the morning, the first light of the day, the path of the righteous, it starts like that, and then it starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day. That's the way the Father destined you to go, if you are the righteous. Amen? So that is talking about those who have Jesus their Lord, and they have put their absolute trust and confidence in him. They are not trusting in any other thing, not man, no man. Not trusting in the flesh or what they can do. Like the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart from the Lord. Even though you are married to Jesus, but then you are not identifying with him, you choose to do things your own way. The Bible said you are under a curse. But if you are totally depending upon him, knowing that you can of your own self do nothing, then the blessing in verse 7 is yours. Say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Which means your fruitfulness is from one level of glory. It will never stop so long as you are the righteous and you are totally depending upon him. Not choosing your own way, but understanding the fact that you can do nothing but with him. Amen? So, and those ones are the ones who, like David, have joyful, confident expectation of good. David said, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Like he said in Psalm 27, 13. In other words, David understands that because the Lord is my shepherd, is my daddy, I shall not want. So, no matter what is happening around him, he had that joyful, confident expectation of good. You know that your future is not dependent on what you're seeing now. It's not dependent of what, however or whatever anybody is doing to you. Your future is dependent upon him because you know you have a source, because you know you have a father who will never fail, who has destined that your destiny, because from you in your mother's womb, he is the Alpha, he's the Omega, he has your future. So he knows the path that he has ordered for your life. Have good plans for you. Plans for good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So you have that joyful, confident expectation. Good. You have good imaginations of the beautiful things that the Father has for you. You are not thinking negatively. What if this happens? What if that happens? It used to be my law, but I thank God by the word of God, those images have changed. I always have that joyful, confident expectation of good. Praise the Lord. So, and he said, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, 23 to 27, when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be going home, he was going to be dying, you know, that they would not see him, the response of Peter in verse 23 says, he said, get away from me, Satan. I mean, what Jesus responded when Peter said, no, that will not be your lot. He said to Peter, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. That is verse 23, the lower part of it. Jesus was simply telling Peter, you are not seeing the way we see. The child of God is supposed to see with what? The sixth eye. What is our sixth eye? Your faith. Your faith. Whatever the word says, your spirit, the spirit of God in you. We see things with your spiritual eye and you respond believing in what the word said concerning you. And he said to Peter, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. And then he said, verse 24, Jesus now turned to his disciples and he said to them, if you want to follow me, you must give up your own way. That's what it means when you say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. When somebody is your Lord, it means it's what the person says that you do. It's where he leads, you follow. He said, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Verse 25 says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. So what will it profit you? Go my way. It won't profit you to go your way. You don't want to lose your soul. Yes, you're saved. Your spirit is born again. But what about your soul? What about your soul? So that it will profit the kingdom. It can be saved, but then your life. Because you keep on from the human point of view, and then you do things carnally. You find out that you are a child of God, but no profit to the kingdom. Amen? So he's telling you, the way to profit the kingdom and profit yourself better and profit your family better is by following my way, doing things my way, seeing things from my own point of view. Verse 24 in that same Matthew 16 in AMPC says, let him deny himself. That's if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, disregard, lose sight of and forget yourself and your own interests and take up your cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me and conform wholly to my example in living and if need be, in dying also. In other words, even if it comes to the point of death, if God ever said it, I stick my neck to it. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what anybody says. unless I don't see it covered in the Word of God. If the Word of God ever said it, that settles it for me. Amen? That's the attitude the Father wants us to have. And that's what Jesus is explaining here. He told us in 2 Corinthians 5:15, he said, "And he died for all, so that all those who live will no longer live for themselves." As a child of God, God wants you, if you have ever said yes to Jesus, not to live for yourself, but to live for him who died for you and raised and was raised for your sake. He was raised for your sake. So he's saying, you should now live for him. So don't follow the popular route. Live for him, because that's the way you're designed to live if you will have to have your way growing or glowing from one, you know, level of glory to another, from brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So those who have made up their minds to follow Jesus, he told us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, I'm going to read it in a message. He said, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover yourself. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me." That is, do we have it here? Okay, walk with me. That's the first one is walk. And then the next thing is whatever you're doing, the walk that you're doing, walk with me. In other words, you're not designed to live your life all by yourself. You are designed to live your life in union with who? In union with who? In union with Christ. That's why he said we should do everything as unto him for his glory. And that's why Jesus told us that apart from me, you can do nothing. But we are never without him. We are always with him 24/7. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he's with us 24/7. So he said, "Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the use of false readings of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly." If you are not living freely and lightly, it's simply because you are not walking with him. If you will only just sit back and process your life again in the light of his word, you will find out where you missed him. Because he's the one that God the Father has given us to walk with us. Amen? So it's either you learn through the wisdom of the Father, which is Jesus Christ, or you learn by experience. But experience is not easy. It's hard, though. It's really, really, really hard. Very, very hard, I tell you. Is really very hard. I know I learned so many things by experience, because we didn't know any better in my father's family, and my father died so prematurely. When somebody, if a bosom friend of his just eliminated his life out of envy. My father had three big lorries that were applying to some marketplaces, carrying a lot of passengers that are carrying their luggages to where they will have to sell it and then bring them back. And then, he was just about to buy the private vehicle that we could now be using, only for his friend, out of envy, just did some stuff to him. So I remember him to be a very busy man, and out of all that money, I think the money had to be used now to take care of his health, and still it came to a fruitless end when he passed, in the year 1960. So we started at a very tender age to really go through stuff. But one beautiful thing I thank God for about it is that drove my mom into seeking God earnestly. And then that brought the wisdom of God to us when we had no other choice than to go back into what's going on? Oh, man. So, you don't want experience to teach you life. You want the wisdom of God to teach you life. That's all I'm trying to say. So, but when you learn God's wisdom and follow God's wisdom, God guides you, like we were being taught this morning in a Proverbs, that he will guide us with his eye. So, you want the wisdom of God to teach you. And the Bible is full of a lot of wisdom from the Father. Experiences of all those that have gone before us. And the Bible said that those things were documented for our own profiting, so that we will learn the things that made them fall, so that we too don't follow that route and also fall, so that we can flourish as our Father designed us. Amen? So you don't want to be, you know, be a child of God that just do church. You just go to church for church's sake. That, you know, some people come to church just by way of, so that, I mean, we can have people to hang out with. Or maybe so that I can have a, if there's anything that is happening to me, I will have people to rally around. Not necessarily that they want to really know God, know who they are in Christ, and really, you know, enjoy that divine nature that God gave us, so that all that belong to Jesus, you can begin to enjoy it right here on earth. People talk about eternal life. We sing a song, eternal life, I want to live eternal life, God save my soul. But what is eternal life? It's knowing Jesus. That's, you know, John chapter 17, verse 3. Knowing God and knowing Jesus, so that in knowing him, you are able to enjoy all that the Father has destined for you in this life. Because they come through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, which I start reading from verse 2, 3, and 4. He gave us his Spirit so that we'll be able to enjoy maximally all that the Father, Jesus Christ, died to give you. So eternal life is something you begin to enjoy right here. It's not until you come to heaven. As you get to know the Father, you get to know Jesus, you begin to enjoy all that, all those privileges that the Father has for you. And that's a way, your way is glowing from one level of glory to another level of glory. Amen? So, like Paul encouraged us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. So those that their way shine brighter and brighter are those that have made up their minds to stay true with the Lord. They have chosen God's route. They don't care what the world around them is saying or doing. All they know is Jesus. Like we sing in a song, Jesus. It's not just a song for them, but they mean it from their heart. That's the group that the Father is talking about this morning. So God will see to it that you flourish. He will see to it that you will do what? You flourish. If you are the righteous, the Father has destined it, and he will see to it that you flourish. Come rain, come sunshine. No matter what happens around you, he's able to make all things work together for your good and make sure that it comes to a perfect end for you. He told us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? The primary thing is God for you. Yes, he's for you if you have said yes to Jesus, but then you will have to continue to look up to Jesus. He said, if he did not spare his son and he gave him up for you, is it money? Is money higher than his son gave to you? Is what is it that is bigger than what he has already given you? He gave you the key to whatever it is that you need in life. And that key is who? Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And we sing it in song, Jesus is the answer for the world. Day. Jesus is the answer for whatever issue, whatever situation, whatever circumstance. He is the answer to that. So if he gave you Jesus, he gave you everything. And that's why he told us that all that pertains to life and godliness, he already gave it to us. Amen? So this is guaranteed as we follow God's designed way. And that his designed way is his wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 to 12, and then verse 16. Let's look at it up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 to 12, and then verse 16. Shall we read it together from verse 5? Ready, go. So that your faith should not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but on the wisdom of God. Verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature,
Believers who have teachable hearts and a greater understanding, but it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of this present age, nor of the rulers and leaders of this age who are passing away. Don't you have the same thing? You don't? I'm so sorry. What version? I said AMP, that's what I'm using. Okay, now listen. So what he's telling us here is that the guarantee of this glory or brighter and brighter is that you follow God's designed wisdom. And that God's designed wisdom, as he's telling us in verse 5, is who? Who is that wisdom? Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. For you, for your way to shine from one level of glory to another level of glory, follow God's designed wisdom. That's a guarantee that your way will shine brighter and brighter. Not the wisdom of men, but God's designed wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. And verse 6 says that this wisdom we're talking about is for believers who have teachable hearts, who are prepared to listen to what God has for them, what the Bible is telling them. He said, and a greater understanding. They have a greater understanding because they are eager to learn, and they keep listening, and they keep paying attention, they keep studying, they keep fellowshipping, because they want to know. As they keep listening and they are eager to learn, that is, they have teachable hearts, then you find out that they begin to gain this wisdom by which you move from one level of brightness to another level of brightness until you get to the perfect will of God. Nobody ever sets out and get the will of God for him or her. You start with what is good, and then you get into, oh, the good. Say, oh, wow, that's okay. That's good. Wow, this is acceptable. Then you get into the perfect will of God. As you keep moving from one level of glory, as you keep fellowshipping with the wisdom of God, in other words, you keep knowing Jesus better and better and better and better. And then he said, the wisdom of this world, it passes away. And then verse 7 says, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. This wisdom is predestined before the ages to our glory, to your glory, if you are a child of God. It is for your glory that this wisdom is destined. It's Jesus is given for your glory. And he said, to lift us into the glory of his presence. Amen? He said it was hidden, but it's now revealed. Yes, it was hidden. In the Old Testament, it was hidden. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So in Christ Jesus, let's continue to read. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but just as it is written in scriptures, things which the eyes has not seen and the ears has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, who hold him in what? In affectionate reverence. Who hold him in what? In affectionate reverence. Who hold him in what? In affectionate reverence. And who do what again? Who obey him. They are foolish enough to just simply to respond to whatever God said. And who gratefully recognize the benefit that he has bestowed them. Then verse 10 says, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. The ways of God are far beyond human understanding. But thank God that we don't just have human understanding. We have the mind of Christ, like we will see it here. And then verse 11 says, for what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Like, you know, some of you here, you never, I might in your mind, and you don't know what is in mind, except that you know I'm preaching here. But you see, you know what is in your spirit. You know what is in your thoughts. You might be smiling at somebody, but your mind is somewhere else. You know what you're thinking about. I might never know. So he's telling us here, in the same manner, nobody knows what is the mind and thoughts of God, but the Spirit of God. Amen? And then let's look at verse 12. Verse 11, it says, For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But then verse 12, let's read it together. Verse 12, ready, go. Now we have received not the spirits of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. So nobody will say, I'm ignorant. If you're ignorant, it's because you choose to be ignorant. The Bible said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's because you have chosen to shut your mind on what the wisdom of God is telling you. It's because you are not with God to the word of God. Amen? So if you give heed to the word of God, the Bible is telling us here that God the Father, the day you say yes to Jesus, has given you his Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the world, so that you will know the provisions that the Father has made available for you. Amen? Everything that the Father has packaged, sealed, and delivered that is already in you, you harness them. As you begin to understand by the explanation that comes through the Spirit of God, as you fellowship with the Word of God. So it's no longer the thing that has not seen, that the mind cannot comprehend, because you comprehend it, because he has given you his Spirit so that you will understand them, but you understand them as you open up to the Word of God with interest to hear, eager to learn, and willing to respond accordingly. Amen? And he said, verse 16, he said, for who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? Then we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. We have the mind of Christ. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. Amen? So, he gave you his mind. He gave you his Spirit. The moment you enter into the family of God, the moment you become a member of God's house, you automatically receive his Spirit. That his Spirit is his gene. That is what guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is yours, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, 13 and 14. So, when you say yes to Jesus, you receive his Spirit. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. What the Father said, and God the Father is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, then that's the absolute truth. 1 John 2:20. He said then, can we read it together? But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart. It is that anointing that has set you apart. Specially gifted. You've been specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you prepares you to enjoy everything that belongs to him. In other words, the things that Jesus did here on earth, you can do. Whatever you want, you can get it simply because of his Spirit that is in you. He said, and all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. He illuminates our minds and guards us from error. We were reading it this morning that he will guide us by his eye, with his eye. You know, Psalm 38 verse, is it verse 8 or so? Amen? All right, so he said, verse 27, as for you, the anointing, the special gift, The preparation. How many of us are born again? Again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. If you have said yes to Jesus, lift up your hand. That's talking about you. And God is not a man that he should lie. As for you, the anointing, the special gifts, the preparation, which you received, not going to, which you received from him, remains how? Permanently. Remains permanently in you, so that you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just as his anointing teaches you concerning, where is it again? Teaches you, just as the anointing teaches you, and just as the anointing has taught you, you must remain in him, being rooted in him, knit to him. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to be teaching, you know, like we are sharing the word of God, but then you have the Spirit of Christ now to guide and to direct you. What is it? Oh, okay. All right. Praise the Lord. So, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, so you are never alone. Always remember that you are never alone. Always remember that he's ever with you. The anointing that you have received is there to guide you, to teach you, to instruct you. Amen? So, but your job is you keep cooperating. My beloved husband demonstrated this for us on Thursday. You know, when he had people, you know, he said, you know, when he's instructing you, it's up to you to choose to yield to him or to do it your own way. Like we are singing this morning, we are saying, take my life, take my voice, take my hands, take my gold, take my will, take my moment. Just at the impulse of your call, let it just simply respond. And that's what we have promised, that's what we have sang, and that is what it is. Amen? So long as you guard your heart, God guards every other thing. You guard your heart, what you allow, because, you know, out of the, and you know, the Bible said that, you know, out of your heart, you know, flows the issues of life. So you make sure you guard your heart, which means you allow the word of God to flourish in your heart by making sure that you are not exposing your heart to the things that will pollute it, because evil communication corrupts good manners. I don't care how you do it, no matter how it is. Evil, if God in heaven in his infinite wisdom told you that evil corrupts good manners, if you like, you can think otherwise. If you like, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, it said, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose those things for the sham they are. You know those things of darkness, the things you can do behind closed doors, the things you can do when you think nobody is watching you, nobody is seeing you, they are works of darkness, and they will simply do what? Pollute your mind. They will dilute what you know of God, and they will puncture your faith. They will distract you from following his example so that you will enjoy that brighter and brighter that the Father has promised you. He said in verse 14, he said, wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you light. He's eager to show you light. And what is the light? The word of God is the light of God. Jesus is the light of the world. And the word of God is the light that he has given us to guide us in this life. He said in verse 15, so watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Live by the promptings of the Spirit. I encourage us to really, really go through all the teachings on Thursdays. Amen? So that's why Paul was pleading with us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Learn from those who follow the Bible example. Learn from those who are role models, who have made Jesus Christ their role models. You see, the company you keep can determine the route you go. You can be keeping company physically. You can be keeping that company with television. You have to know the kind of spirit controlling those that you're watching or those that you're keeping company with. So it is important that you follow the pattern of those who are following Jesus as their pattern, because that's the only thing that the Father told us. Looking away from all distractions to one, unto Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. Amen? So as a child of God, Christ is our wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It says there, I'm going to be going through it quickly because of our time. It said, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And verse 30 said to us, let's look at verse 30. Verse 30, it says in AMP, in Amplified Version, it said, but it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But it is from him that we are in Christ Jesus. I'm using AMP, Amplified Version. Okay, let's read it. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, who God made our words, wisdom from God, that is revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself as our righteousness. So Jesus Christ is our wisdom, and he's what again to us? He's our righteousness. Amen. Continue. Hidden, upright, and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, that is making us pure and holy, and our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. So Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Do you know what that means? If you follow his wisdom, he's the winning wisdom. And he's your wisdom. He's your right standing with the Father, which means because of him, you are qualified anytime to go before the Father to ask for anything. The Father approves of you simply because of Jesus. But you have to choose him as your wisdom in your day-to-day life. In every aspect of your life, you choose him as your wisdom. And again, he is our hope of glory. Because of Jesus, people can say, wow, glory to God concerning your life. Every aspect of your life is using out glory to his name. You are excelling in everything. Just because of Jesus, because you have chosen to follow his wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, not the popular wisdom. These are the way my friends are doing it. No, you have chosen his wisdom. So he says he's our hope of glory. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 20. That's the NLT. Let's look at that. I'll start from verse 15. He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He existed before anything. He's supreme over all creation. Then verse 16, he said, for through him, God created what? Does that include you? Whatever it is you can think of, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Say, everything was created through him and for. So it means you are created for who? That's why the Bible said in the book of Revelation 4:11, you're created for his pleasure. So if you're pursuing your own pleasure, you're on your own. You see the dangers of it. You see why some of us, your ways are not going brighter and brighter, because you're pursuing your own things, your own way. You didn't even consult him to know whether this is what he wants you to do. Then verse 17 says, he existed before anything else. Think of that. Before anything else. And he holds all creation together. And that includes who? You. So if he's not the one holding you, you will be in jeopardy. Amen? You see the seriousness of you paying attention to his wisdom. And he said, And he said, Christ is also the head of the church. Christ is also the head of the church. My brother, come. Come. Would you please come? So where is his head now? Where is his head? His head is sitting on the chair and his ear. Okay, go over there, where daddy is. So where is his head? Amen? My dear, have your say. So if Christ is our wisdom and Christ is our head, who is the church? We are the church. Individually and collectively, we are the church. So anything you're doing and anywhere you go and you're not involving him, it's like you left your head in the house and you're somewhere else. That would be danger. If I see you, I'm going to run. Can you imagine seeing a human being without a head? You're going to say you see a ghost, isn't it? So Christ is your head and he's not divided from the body. So whatever you're doing, you have to involve your head. Where do you process things? So you see why we run into trouble. If you're not experiencing that from one level of glory, that's a brighter and brighter. It's because you have not been following his wisdom. Amen? Because he's your wisdom. And then he said in verse 18, he says, so he is first in everything. Let's say it. He is first in everything. Let's say it again. He is the first in everything. So if he's not the first in every aspect of your life, you are running into a jeopardy. You are running into danger. We are talking about the way of the righteous shining brighter and brighter. But you have to go by his wisdom. And Jesus is his wisdom to us. Amen? Now let's look at verse 23. Let's read it together. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Believe the truth that Christ is the first. Believe the truth that he is your wisdom. Believe the fact that he is your head. Believe the fact that he has to be in the preeminence over everything else. If you continue to believe in this and you don't drift away from this truth, which means if you believe, you're going to conduct your life in a way and manner that shows that you actually believe. Amen? And then he said, verse 26. Verse 26 says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 27 says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ. Let's read it together. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Because of Christ in you, is all glory, glory, glory all around you. You know what it means by glory? Wow, praise the Lord. To God be all the glory. Oh my goodness. Oh, to God be the glory. There's always things to say glory to God. And those things to say glory to God are things that are beneficiary to you, isn't it? You pass your exam, wow, praise the Lord. You build a house, to God be the glory. Every good and perfect gift, they come from where? The Bible said a man can receive nothing except it was first given from above. And that's why he told us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, all the wisdom. He said, in him, who is him? In Christ Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures and knowledge. They are all, God the Father packed all of them and took them and stuffed in Jesus. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He's in me. The Bible said he pleased the Father to dwell in Christ. So you can imagine who you are. God the Father is in Christ, and Christ is in who? In you. That's why Jesus is the answer for whatever it is. He's your card for whatever it is. So long as he's in your boat, you're good to go. You are good to go. And even if you have not started experiencing that brightness, my dear, you're in for a great time. Your future is so bright. Amen? So, and he said, and that's why he told us in verse 6, he said that we must continue to follow him. And verse 7 said, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Because he's your victory. He's your success in life. He is only in him that your success is guaranteed. It's only in him that you excel in life. Say, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. He said, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thanksgiving. Amen? Because it's only in him that you are complete. That's what he said in verse 10. In him, you are complete. What does it mean to be complete? What does it mean to be complete? It means that nothing else is needed. You are awesome in him. When something is complete, it means lacking nothing. And the Bible said, in Christ, you are complete. Amen? And he told us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that it's only in Christ that God causes us to triumph. He causes us to triumph how many times? Always. Without failing. Always. Without failing. Only in Christ. Amen? So if you don't have money today, you will have it tomorrow. If you don't have a wife today and you desire one, you will get it tomorrow. If you don't have a house today and you desire one, you will get it tomorrow. Only in Christ, following his words, wisdom, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your leader. Amen? So, if he's that our wisdom, the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. So, you go ahead and get wisdom. You have to prioritize getting wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is get skillful and godly wisdom. It is preeminent, and with all your acquiring, get understanding, actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. He said, it is preeminent. Wisdom is preeminent. We read in Colossians chapter 1 that in all things he might be the preeminent. And who is that? Jesus Christ. And wisdom is the preeminent. So he said, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Amen? So we prioritize getting wisdom. And he said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8, he said, prize wisdom and exalt her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Prize wisdom. Prize Jesus. Embrace Jesus. When you embrace him, everything that is in his hands, they're all clinging to you, which means you're going to have it experientially. Prize wisdom. Prize the wisdom of God and the power of God. Prize Jesus above everything else because he's your wisdom. Embrace her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Verse 9 says, she will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty and glory. He said, hear my son and accept my saying, and the years of your life will be many. As you embrace Jesus, the years of your life will be many because Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he said, verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, for your path will be clear and open, and when you run, you will not stumble. When you prize Jesus, when you prize the wisdom of God above all things. So nothing compares with the wisdom that comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God. Verse 11 of Proverbs 8 says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. People think that, let me go and pursue money. Pursue wisdom above all things. That's what God is telling us. And the ways of God might sound foolish to you, but that is the winning way. That is the winning way. The way that guarantees your day shining brighter and brighter, shining ever brighter. What we are today wasn't what we were some years back. But I tell you, God has been taking me and my family from one level of glory to another level of glory. We have not yet arrived, but we have left and we are on our way. And we keep getting higher and higher. So as we keep on embracing the wisdom of God, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? Proverbs chapter 16:16 says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. See how people, you know, struggle to get this gold. What is gold? Money. To make it so that people, their faith, people will, you know, applaud them or whatever. He said, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And it is, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. So those that have chosen, you know, this wisdom of God, you find them attending to Bible study, prayer meeting, and the meetings of the church. You know, see, there's no way you can finish everything in preaching. I mean, just say within 1 hour. But when you go to these different other meetings, women's meeting, men's meeting, youth program, young adults meeting, family forum, then these things are now dissected with living example that you get them better and better. People will share testimony. You are gaining the wisdom that will help you to navigate through life and excel and have your way brighter and brighter like the Father designed it. So those that have prioritized, do you find them going to those meetings? They prioritize. They are not trying to, you know, engage themselves with things that will hinder them from making their time to come and sit down and listen to wisdom. Amen? Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently will find me. That is still wisdom talking. He said, riches and honor are with me. Riches and honor are with who? With wisdom. Riches and honor are with Jesus. Riches and honor are with wisdom. And he said, enduring wealth and righteousness, right standing with God. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield is better than choicest silver. I, wisdom, continuously walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me, that those who love wisdom, to inherit wealth and true riches, and that I may fill their treasures. Amen? When you embrace godly wisdom, oh my goodness, just watch out. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Your life is going to take a new dimension, and you'll be happy for it. Amen? What you're looking in Sokoto is in your Shokoto. It's right there with you. It's in your pocket. Christ in you. All you need to do is look like this. He's in there. Whatever consultations you need to do, the guidance of the Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit of Christ is in you. That's why he said you know all things. I was listening, I think it was it on Thursday or so, about one celebrity that died. He had the figure, he had the money, he had the fame. But yet he committed suicide. And in the note that he left, he said, you know, tell them I have tried my best, but it's not working for me. He had the money, he had the fame, he had the figure. But what did he lack? The wisdom of God. So he took his life. The wisdom of God is the winning wisdom. He said, long life and favor come through embracing wisdom. That's what he said. That's why in Proverbs 3:13, he said, happy, blessed, considered, fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experiences. Verse 14 says, for wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver. I've read that before. Then verse 16 says, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness and favor, and all her paths are peace. Verse 20 says, by his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the clouds drip with dew. By her knowledge. I thank God for my beloved husband. He began to search the scriptures. He began to embrace the word of God. He dived seriously into the word of God, and he began to gain this wisdom. And before you know it, like the Bible said here, he said the deeps were broken. The deeps were broken for him. And money began to flow into my family. We used to use only one Titus fish to make a big pot of soup. Now, my step changed because I had new clothes and I had new everything, and things began to happen simply because he dived into the word of God and gained God wisdom, and we started speaking on the word of God, and things began to happen for us. Yet all these things have been there before, but we didn't know until we chose to seek the word of God. Amen? So wisdom is the principal thing. We have to embrace this wisdom, and that is what will give us joy. Amen? I heard of a man who was not doing well at all. And then somebody told him, if only you begin to study the book of Proverbs, meditate on it, I guarantee you your life will change. And he did. And truly, his life changed. And he was giving a testimony over the television. And I can identify with that. Because when we had difficulties, when my mother made us to start, studying the book of Proverbs, I was doing this religiously, and that helped me a lot. In fact, it helped me so much so that I was able to avoid so many things that some younger people at my age were not able to avoid, just simply because of the wisdom that comes through the word of God. Amen? So as you fellowship with the word of God, the Bible said that God takes you from one level of glory, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, from one level of glory to another level of glory to another. Why? Because you continue to behold, not that you stop, you continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The Bible says you are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. So you see, you can't cram the word of God. That's the thing about it. You cannot cram it. It's not something, when I was in college, I will cram and cram when it's time for exam, and then we have a way we meet, and then I will recite what I cram, and then you say, okay, no, you miss it here. Okay, no, you got it right here. And then you're like, then in the exam, I just vomit everything, and I get A or AB or whatever. I remember sometimes my husband would tell me, are you not an economist? I said, well, he doesn't know that I passed through that thing, but he didn't pass through me. Praise the Lord. But you see, the word of God, you must have to know it for yourself. It comes by revelation. So that's why I say, if you constantly, you have to continue to behold. What is that mirror? The word of God, everything about Jesus. Amen? No matter what the situation is in your life, as you continue to behold in a mirror, I'm going to show you one thing here. Can I get a little table here? Because my time is almost up. A little table so that they can see me. Amen? I just want to quickly. What I'm trying to show is what happens to you when you begin to behold the word of God. No matter how dirty your life is, no matter how terrible, remember God, your Father, is the one that provides the seeds for the sower and bread to the eater. He's the one that will supply all your needs, but they all come through the word of God. Can you bring it over here so that people, over here, because of that thing. Amen? So as, over here, keep it in the front, over here. You see, no matter how dirty your life is, no matter how terrible it is, the Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. My dear, come. I need help. Come and help me. As you keep on feeding on the word of God, he said, first the blade. Come here. So long as you keep feeding, I want you to see, keep on pouring it. As you keep feeding, you come for Bible study. You come for all the prayer meeting. You come for Sunday service, Sunday school. So long as you keep at it, your life will keep on getting brighter and brighter and better and better and richer and richer and higher and higher and better and better, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, to another degree of glory. You get to get to what is good, to what is perfect, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect in the sight of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you have to keep on feeding on the wisdom of God. And because he said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, if you allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you, there is no room for flesh. No matter how you are squeezed, the life of Christ will show up in the character of Christ, like he was teaching us the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. It's not that my husband did me. You will know how the better way to respond. You will know the better way to respond to your children. You will know the better way to respond, because what is coming out is the water of life, because God cleanses you by the water of life, which is the word of Christ, the word of Christ, the wisdom of God. No matter how you're squeezed, it is the life of Christ that is showing up. But so long as you keep on feeding on the word of God, you can see your life shining from one level of glory to another level of glory, and you'll be happier for it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shall we all rise?